TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com for all your import and third-party transformer needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. Now offering free basic shipping on orders of $150 or more. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at the hottest toy convention near you or online at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Mega Toy Fan for all your vintage toy necessities. Let us know you're listening. Whatever social media network you use, give us a mention by using hashtag TFYLP.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Well, hi and welcome to TFYLP, folks. Well, this show is brought to you by Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan. And Capture Prey, great toys, great prices, and great services. And today on TFYLP, I got some other folks with me. Can you please introduce yourself? Daniel.
It's the Proto Man. How you doing, people?
And we got... as well...
Headmaster Don, always a pleasure.
Hi. And we also got James.
Jim Black, how we doing? Also known as Moroni Prime.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, we got an interesting show today. We're going to talk to some RID 1.0, I think it's called. And we're not talking about the new show at all, do we? We're
talking about the classic Robots in Disguise.
Yeah. What is it, 2001?
Mm-hmm.
2001. Well, yeah. 2001. Depends on how you Japan car robots versus...
Japan is car robots.
Yeah.
And we've got a little news to start off with. Just a little bit of third-party news, just to get everybody up to date. From T-Formers, there are pictures available of overclocking, which is from which is not Blur, from SXS, which you might remember from their continuously variable figure that looked a lot like a Gears, and then the repaint that I don't believe the repaint came out of Outback. I don't remember seeing that, but I believe it was coming out at one point. A lot of good looking pictures for this Blur figure. Again, I don't read the IDW comics, but I've been told it's going for an IDW look. Have y'all guys had a chance to take a look at the pictures when they were posted?
Yep. Looks really good. It's nice to have. Like, what's the scale for that? Is that going to be more in the classics kind of deluxe scale, or is it going to try to be more of a masterpiece scale? Well, mind you, it's almost the same thing nowadays. A small Voyager.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen a size listed for it. I was seeing if there's any comparison shots to other figures to give our audio listeners an idea of how big it is.
I really don't know. I would assume it is deluxe size.
Yeah. Well, it,
the way that it is now, it seems like a lot of third party stuff is kind of going for that, like what the Datsuns and what Lambors, and they're going for that in between scale of Deluxe to Voyager. Mm-hmm. But I mean, judging by the price point, it kind of looks like it's that, because if it was, say, like Deluxe size, and again, even Deluxe now, like, are we talking Modern Deluxe, which is really small? Or
exactly. Or like, for example, War for Cybertron Deluxes, which were just really beefy figures for the price point.
It's hard to say.
They were almost like modern deluxes.
Yeah. I think judging by the engineering on it, it looks like it's a bit of a larger figure. I can't see a lot of those joints being done on something that's small. It would probably be more fragile. I like it a lot because Blur is one of those characters that I usually ignored, and then the IDW version really got me hooked, specifically because of the spotlight. And so after that came out, I've been really wanting to find one that really represents that version. I mean, the classics, Generations, Universe 2.0, whatever you want to call that version, the Chug, as some people like to call it, which I hate that term. But that version, it's good, but I found always the alt mode was kind of lacking. So this kind of like is that middle ground. It's not perfect, but fits that need, for at least for me. It's expensive, but it's still cool.
Yeah, and the good thing is, you know, it'll fit your IDW shelf, or if you want to put it with, say, your, like you have Tempest, which is not Cyclonus, and Manai King, and all those, it'll work with that, like that third party post movie shelf too.
With the DX9 coming also soon, so
yeah, exactly. So that'll work real well as well. One thing I don't see is a 5mm peg port. If you got, say, a Target Master.
Well, if there was one, it would really give us a good idea too of the scale.
Yeah, I was looking to see if you picked up, say, you know, a Target Master for it, if one of the many companies like Master Shooter Collectibles. If you could mount a Target Master on there or not. But good looking figure.
Retail, I dig it.
Go ahead. Oh, now retails for, it looks like, I think the retail is going to be around $100 on that. So we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully it's a success for them. Next figure. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry to pass.
I thought I was going to show the picture here. You can see
sorry.
It. That's a box, but it doesn't reveal anything about its size, unfortunately. So, but it does look good for you viewers out there, and for you listening, it's a blur.
It's a blur, but I like the contrasting blues.
Yeah,
you know, I think, you know, usually blur is too much blue. But this is, the blues are such a different hue. Mm-hmm. It really, it's a lot of blue, but the lighter blue helps break up everything else. So it's not like you're just drowning in, you know, the same color.
Well, it's kind of a muted blue.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, is because when the Classics one came out, actually, I think I have it close by, the blue that was used on it originally really wasn't what we were kind of used to from, say, like the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm no paint expert, but it's like a really vibrant baby blue almost. And,
sort of like a Carolina blue is what I call it.
Yeah, I guess. But that's just it. So it's one of those things that I think we got that Classics one and we kind of use that as a comparison for everything. But then we go back and we watch the 86 movie, which had a lot of unique colors on the post movie characters. I mean, even like when we think Hot Rod and Rodimus, we right away go like red, yellow, but that's incorrect. And we've yet to really have one outside of, say, like the Takara release of the Masterpiece toy that has that magenta. You know what I mean? Like, there was very unique colors on those posts. Like, same thing, even with, like, a cup. Like, he had, like, a not teal, But yeah. But it's not gray, but yet like sometimes people make them gray or make them like a turquoise. Like they all had very unique colors. And even the RC that came out recently, like you look at the Takara version as opposed to the Hasbro version, the pink just being the right pink, not just that off pink. There you go. My Japanese one upstairs. Crap, I would have been able to do a good comparison. So, there you go. Well, of course you would have it.
Yeah. Don, talk some so we can see it in picture there.
Okay, sorry. Let me try this here. Okay.
But that's just it. Like, it's – I found that the post-movie characters always had very unique, color silhouettes. And Blur is another one of those examples where when we remember, 86 Blur, he kind of had – I guess, like you said, much more muted, quiet blues. And this Classics one was a lot more loud.
Yeah, plus some of those shades on those characters in the movie, you can only achieve in a non-physical representation. Some of those shading gradients probably you would have to try forever to get the exact shading in a physical color versus what you could draw or create using markers, pens, pencils, and animations, software, whatever the case may be. Some of that stuff may just be a color that can't be replicated physically.
True.
Not out of a lot of work. But I like it, and like I said, I hope it's a success for them. the next one coming up is from our friend at Perfect Effect. This is PEDX05. Sounds like a license plate number. Leonidas, which is the Lyo Convoy. It's going to be about 9 inches tall. It has die cast with it. And it says it has over 60 points of articulation. That's a lot of articulation. Yeah. Shipping in June for around 150. I have the original Convoy. I like it. What do y'all think? As far as this new take on the character,
I had completely missed where they were going to use the diecast metal. Do we know which parts are going to be the diecast?
Everything I've seen. I haven't seen any actual in hand reviews for people yet pointing out like on production samples. I haven't seen anything listed in text about where it's used either. If I had a hazard to guess, I would probably say somewhere in the ankles and the feet for the stability, and maybe some in the chest just to help hold all that together, because that's a lot of stuff being held together in that upper torso.
Right.
But
it seems like it shares the same engineering from the original one, from the original Lyo Convoy from Beast Wars 2. It looks amazing. Yeah. It looks really good. And for the longest time, if you've ever messed with, say, like the Robot Masters version, which is pretty difficult to get that one. It was a later release from that line. That was kind of like probably like, I don't want to say it's the best representation of the character, but it was the best representation of the character from a articulation and playability, but it wasn't a right scale because those Robot Masters were really small.
Right.
It's kind of like before Masterpiece Star Saber came out, I found that Robot Master Star Saber was probably the most articulated Star Saber could be at that point.
Especially compared to G1.
Well, yeah, I guess, especially since the G1 one was a brick like Power Master Prime or Ginrai. So it's just, it's one of those things that it's nice to see this character updated and getting like, and what makes this the best for me is it shows that they're looking at Beast Wars stuff. That's the bottom line of this is it has third party guys going, you know what? Let's do a Beast Wars, or in this case, Beast Muscle. So, yeah.
Well, and again, all of us have said, but G1 is great. But there's more to Transformers than G1, and I know they sort of have to follow follow the money of where they can get the most sales from. I think there's a lot of untapped potential in Beast War third party characters that we haven't even seen yet. But,
totally.
I'm looking at this right now in the window I'm in. I think this would also fit if they had done a Transtech line, if that line had actually been created and fulfilled. This looks like almost like what a Transtech Lion would look like to me.
Well, it also is kind of reminiscent of the early IDW Beast Wars miniseries when you kind of had those like pre animal alt mode characters, and you had like a Lio Prime in there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, it still transforms into a lion, but that robot mode really invokes that Cybertronian design that it originally had from the IDW book when they had that first initial miniseries. What was it called there? Ascension? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been.
It was a while. It was like 5-6 years ago when it came out, but it really invokes that. And I mean, if it is anything even close to the scale that the original Lio Convoy was, then it is totally worth it for $150.
Yeah, 9 centimeters and
with diecast. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
And unlike many people live in America, I cannot readily convert metric to standard. So I have no idea how tall 9 centimeters is without looking it up. So
it's 9 centimeters?
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm misreading it. 23 centimeters tall.
Okay, I was about to say like.
Inches. Okay, yeah. It's the way the page kind of cut off within.
I was like, how could it be smaller than the Robot Master? Is that even possible?
Yeah, it's the way the sentence cut off and was continued. That's the way my browser was showing it.
Yeah, so we're calling it Leonidas Ambus.
Going to chest.
And the good thing, if this thing is successful, we'll get Flash Leonidas, Dark Leonidas, and Galva Leonidas.
And then they'll retool it into Lio Breaker or Liger Jack, whatever they called it in Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll make use of this mold.
Oh, I'm sure. That's what I'm hoping it's a success, because I'll be honest, because I was at BotCon the year they had the Lucky Draw Galva Lio Convoy there.
Oh yeah,
they wanted $7,000 for it. That was the year it was came out. Yeah. He was the winner of it, and he was selling it for $7,000. If that was in the Galvatron colors like it was originally, I might get that just for to have a Galva Lio Convoy.
Yeah,
we'll definitely see come TFCon what is in the cards for third party stuff.
So we'll see what's in the heart of the cards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the last thing we've got really going on this week is Duron is working hard. That's why he's not here tonight. He's sacrificing his own screen time for you, the viewer, on a Fans Toys Sever review. Sever is the Not Snarl, which is the third figure after Scoria and Spore. He says it's fabulous. He's working with it now. He's probably playing with it working. So we hope to have the photo shoot up there in a couple of days on the TFYLP Facebook page. And also, as Tobias mentioned at the start of the show, Captured Prey, being one of our sponsors, does still have this up for pre-order. So if you like your Masterpiece Dinobots and Snarl is one of your favorites, like he is for me, go over there and check him out and get your pre-order in, because this is going to be an awesome figure. Have y'all seen pictures of the Sever up before this point?
Yes, I have.
I believe so. Yeah.
How many of y'all getting them?
Let's put it this way. I mean, this isn't official, but if I was a betting man, probably going to have a repaint exclusive at a certain show in the future.
Really?
I'm not saying it's confirmed, but I mean,
just an educated guess based on your experiences.
Well, let's put it this way: we've already had two shows extremely close from each other, only 3 months apart, and they put out two very easily. Now they've had a 12-month gap in between. Then I'm pretty sure.
That'll be very interesting to see. I can't wait to see what their sludge looks like, because sludge was my first Transformer ever, and I really want to see what that looks like. How about you, Tobias? Are you getting any of the Fans Toys Dinobots?
No, I'm not. I'm currently collecting fans projects.
Okay.
In a box. So I already got started on that one. So I would like to get them, but, you know, money.
Oh, I know. I know. Money. Whoever would have thought we would have had too many Dinobots to choose from?
Not to mention what everything Hasbro's putting out.
Why not? Well, Jim, what do you think? I mean, do you like Sever or do you like one of the other ones?
Well, I have not really delved into the world of third party too much. A couple years ago at SwaggerCon, I picked up the Not Squawk Talk and Not Beast Box set, as well as the Mega Toy Fan Captured Prey repaints.
Right.
Of them, they were pretty neat. But as far as anything else, third party, I've not really got into that. I'm mainly focusing on safest. Final Wars. That's been my kryptonite as of late.
Oh, and with Wave 2 hitting, hopefully everybody's found their Wave 2, or at least have got them in for your retailer of choice.
Brown Blackout.
It's weird. I was telling Brian Kilby this other day. It's weird that in G1, Superion had the worst legs, and Minasaur was a lot more stable. Mm-hmm. And in Combiner Wars, Superion's a little more stable, and Minasaur is like, boom. it's sort of got to fix and pose them. So, mm-hmm. But yeah. So that's basically it for third party. Not a lot going on this week.
I have to mention one thing. I know it's been talked about a lot the recent weeks, but this week I finally got my Star Saber, Masterpiece Star Saber.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and I have to say it's a great, great toy. I haven't owned the G1 toy at all, but it's been one of my holy grails, and I'm so happy about it.
It just looks great.
I got it too, and let me tell you, I think that when you're going to get the G1 one, I think you're just going to be kind of disappointed after that, because the Masterpiece one, I owned like the original Star Saber, I owned the Robot Master, I owned like the Star Saber Junior one, even the Mega PVC version, which mm-hmm. kind of also did a combiner thing with Victory Leo. There's been a very interesting progression with the engineering of that character to try to give him a joint here, a joint there. Yeah. This Masterpiece one is incredible. Especially if you're someone who really enjoyed Transformers Victory and the little nuances with the V-Star and how Star Saber, you know, there's the one episode where he rode on top of it as just Saber with the blade.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. And especially the original Star Saber toy, the hilt also made his shield, which also made the sword. They made sure to kind of separate that. So there's a lot of different poses and playability that exists with this one that if you went back to the G1 one, you're going to be like, yeah. This was my grail for $500. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, the Brainmaster gimmick back in the day was, it blew my mind. It's like, oh my God, you close the chest and it's, becomes the face. That's incredible, yeah.
And now his head will turn with the Brain Master in there.
Exactly.
Separately. It's like,
well, that's so just great. It's like everything about it is incredible. It's pretty much them sitting down. I like to say, because I remember I was on, I want to say it was WTF at TFW. I was on their podcast and someone asked, what would you see in the future in terms of Masterpiece toys being done? And I remember at that time we were just coming off of the X-Kaiser Masterpiece toy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying like, well, judging by how they were able to pull that off and then do a separate release, which was with the Dragon Kaiser to make the combiner mode and everything.
Yep.
The fact that Takara was willing to take the time to make two separate Masterpiece releases that combine and a smaller robot and all the little accessories and everything. The fact that that kind of engineering became a reality, I said – I could see a Star Saber in the future happening and a Victory Leo, which ironically it seems that this Star Saber seems to work with real Victory Leos, although I've yet to try it, but I've seen pictures online that apparently it clips in with it. So, I mean, there probably is intention for the future.
Yeah. It's sort of a shame that the Brave Masterpiece is sort of just sort of went by the wayside. But maybe with this new engineering that we're seeing, you know, it'll come back. But I just think it looks great, and it's like the shield being the flight stand, because I think he used a shield in what, two episodes?
Maybe. Yeah, well, yeah, if you don't count every stock footage transformation where it's on his shoulder for like a second.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, like I said, okay. There was the one episode where he's on the V-Star and he does like a jousting pass by, and he had the shield on him. Yeah, that was about it.
Counting stock footage is like doing the G.I. Joe drinking game. If you see a parachute, drink once. if you hear a cobra, drink twice. Drink three times for a yo-jo. You'll be dead by the time the episode's over.
But, yeah, it was I was diverging there. But I have to mention it because I think it's great engineering, as you mentioned, and a fantastic toy. Yeah. For the first time, and I don't know how many years, I sat at my work and I was longing to get home to play with this toy. And that feeling I haven't had since I was a kid. So, yeah.
Wow.
Great toy.
And it was the fan vote, imagine. So, exactly. It says something.
Well, it's a TF Yuki had mentioned on our topic tonight, he had posted some early concept sketches of what Fire Convoy started out to be, and he would have been they drew him with a Maximal symbol, which I would have loved to have seen if that had, where that was going to go with that. But I tweeted back to him that, you know, that's my favorite mold of Robots in Disguise, pretty much probably my favorite Transformer mold. And I said, I hope that we can give the masterpiece of him soon. And he tweeted back that he would like to do it if at all possible, which made me really happy. But this, I just thought of this the other day. And if they do a masterpiece to Atlas, the box should be shaped like Grandis. So when you pull the Diatlas out, you can sort of do like a little pop-up book kind of thing for the box that he comes in. And then there's your Grandis. So you got masterpiece Grandis, which is a box.
That would be fantastic.
I hate to like ruin your high, but I think that it wouldn't work out though, because Grandis was a Battlestar mold.
Yeah.
And
I just don't see us getting masterpiece Grandis. So if they did the box like a little pop up version of him,
we might get him in name one day, and it'll be like some Metroplex repaint or something, but I don't ever see getting a big boxy Grandis anytime soon either.
We'll have to get Metro Titan first.
I see a third party one maybe happening, but never anything really official.
Unless the car gets really crazy and reissues Dag Base from Dag 1 for some reason.
That would be like the only repaint that they gave it.
Yeah, well, it's like they repaint Dag Base because it's a little bit cheaper mold probably, if it's still viable, and then that'd be sort of weird. The remold repaint from Grandis becomes the new Grandis reissue.
Yeah. And it'll be like $400 if some of these G1 reissues are starting to cost now.
Oh.
You know what? I just want to go off on a tangent, but how the hell is this new Soundwave that's showing up in this garish colors, this masterpiece one? How is this thing more expensive than the original masterpiece one that we were getting in Toys R Us?
Do you mean the Year of the Goat?
Yeah, Year of the Goat.
I actually have purchased and received this week Year of the Goat Optimus Prime because it's G2 Laser Optimus, and I got a real good deal on it, so I had to get it.
Well, see. And that one, too. That one, it's like, do you know how much a mint-in-box G2 Laserod Optimus Prime is? The price of that one. You know, like, it's just – the prices are insane for these reissues. And, I mean
– check Ultra Magnus.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. Magnus is a little different because it's a Japanese exclusive You know, or even like – even well, I wouldn't use a Black Convoy or a Scourge because he's kind of cheap now. But like in the other one too, the Insecticons that recently came out. Doing TF Cons and Bot Cons for years, Insecticons now, complete and great condition from G1, go at most for like $10, $15. The fact that you could put three in a box and ask almost like $100 is insane.
I know because Evangelist mentioned – at Canadian retail, they were $110.
Exactly. And Canadian retail, and then we got taxes too, which are not cheap like the States. Our taxes are another 13% on that. So you're talking almost $130, which is insane for for something that at TFCon Canada, you're picking them up from table to table, $15 a piece, the originals. So it's, I don't know, that one just doesn't make
that
sense.
The whole point
of a reissue is to give a cheaper alternative for someone who missed an opportunity to pick up a mold. Like that came out many years ago or something. This, it's like, yeah, hey, you missed it. Now pay four times the price for the reissue.
Speaking of reissue, since you brought that up, Daniel, I want to bring this up because I don't think we've talked about it. Astro Train and Blitzwing.
You know what? That one I'm not angry because it's so weird looking that I like it. That's like G2 Astro Train.
I call it Safety Astro Train.
Or that Safety, like you needed to be a gun to be with. I don't know. It looks good. If you do a reissue and it has a unique color scheme or tries to do something different, I guess maybe because from my perspective, who owns all the original G1 toys already. I mean, you have to really give me a reason at this point to pick something up. And when the BookBox reissues came out a while back from Takara, they would be like, oh, we're going to give you a gun or a more G1 accurate, you know, paint scheme or we're going to, you know, paint the lights on instead of them being stickers. They did little somethings to convince you to pick it up.
Yeah.
Where this time around, it's just like, unless, you know, the straight up repaints that cost three times the amount of the original toy off of eBay. So, I mean, I just hope this Blitzwing Astro Chain 2-pack isn't $400.
Well, it's retail for about $65 US.
Oh, that's and that makes no sense because, in all honesty, those two, in my opinion, as a pair, should be more expensive than three Insecticons. From an engineering standpoint, from a die-cast standpoint, from a parts standpoint, it doesn't make sense. But I guess they really like those Insecticons back at Hasbro.
Yeah.
And then those restoration issues were only, like $30, $33, something like that?
Yeah,
they were very modest. You could pick up, I think, Prime, Prime or Magnus, who probably would have been the largest ones of the bunch in terms of parts and metal.
35.
I think they were like 45 or 50 at one point. Because I remember the very first wave, it was Magnus, Prime, and Hot Rod, or Rodimus Major, as he was called. And they were relatively cheap, and that's not even a matter of inflation. Inflation wasn't that much even back then, but they were relatively modest.
Rodimus Major was $17.
Yeah, exactly. And now, if I get a feeling, if they reissued Rodimus today, it'd probably be $50.
Yep, $17. I think Beast Machines Rat Trap was more than that.
That toy is like Highlander 2.
That whole line was all about pay more than what you should have gotten for. Voyager Megatron.
But speaking of Beast Machines, after Beast Machines, we got a much better show.
Yes, we did.
We did.
In theory.
Well,
better in some ways, not better in others.
I enjoyed it a lot more than I did Beast Machines.
I will say that in the moment, we welcomed Car Robots, Robots in Disguise, very openly after 7 years, 6 years of Beasts, to say the least, counting Machine Wars.
It wasn't so much for me about we're finally away from the Beast for the most part. It was just something different. Not just, you know, from a storytelling standpoint. It wasn't dark and you had
It was Japanese story writing, essentially. If you look at the way that I always parallel it, especially to Transformers Victory, because Transformers Victory was you had the three Brain Masters, you had the three Car Brothers. In Transformers Victory, you had the stupid animal sidekicks of the villains. In Victory, you had the same thing with Car Robots. You had whatever you want to call the Death Strongers with Gas Gunk. And I'm calling them by their Japanese names. I don't remember their American names offhand.
Yeah.
And then it's the same thing when Lyozak and – not Lyozak. Lyozak and all the Breastmasters showed up. It's the same thing like when the Combatrons showed up. There was an elite force that kind of replaced the old guys. There was a very similar progression of storytelling that parallels that of Brave series and specifically Transformers Victory, which kind of was the prototype to the Brave series storytelling arc. And then, as I like to call it, the magic mushroom that shows up in the case of the really angry Victory Leo or the very angry God Magnus. You know, so there was a lot of similarities between the two, and people who enjoyed Victory, especially around that time when we were watching Beast Wars, we were, you know, people who were in the fandom during those late 90s who were watching those badly dubbed Star TV, you know.
I wouldn't watch those. I will not watch them. I would
watch in those episodes. So or the few bad quality ones that Rockman 666 put up on his website back in the day. I'm really like here.
Yeah, you're dating yourself with that one.
Yeah, I'm raw. That's just it. People are like, who the GeoCities at Angel Fire. But anyways,
hello. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we get on the big topic for this podcast?
Yes.
It's RID, folks. The original RID, should I say.
1.0,
yeah.
Robots in disguise.
Yes. And you have already mentioned it, Daniel. What was called in Japan, it was
Car Robots.
Yeah.
Sometimes mistakenly referred to as Transformers 2000. It was never officially called that.
Yeah.
Well, most of the like toy websites that were selling stuff like BBTS, and they usually kind of use that as their catch name at the time.
Because I thought at one point that was actually that's the working title they were using at one point, and that's where it sort of came from.
It is.
That's what I was always under the impression of.
Okay,
I don't recall that.
Like, I mean, the first episode of the series made the reference to it's the millennium, and there was kind of little things that she – but I've never heard of it, like Car Robots being called Transformers 2000, ever.
Okay.
Never.
And I have to say this Car Robots or Robots in Disguise is something dear to us. We have talked about this before, and we're going to talk about it again. There's much more to bring up here. How about the toys? That's what we live for.
Well, the toys, honestly, to me, the Robots in the Sky series here felt a lot like, I guess you could say, almost like the original incarnation of what would later become known as Universe or Generations, in that it was kind of Transformers' greatest hits, even before Energon did it, because you've got Predacon molds, you've got Generation 2 Laserrod Prime mold, you got Fortress Maximus,
G1 Combaticons,
robots as spy changers, I mean, on and on and on.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful blend of different toys from different periods of time with different engineering that all complemented each other nicely.
One thing, Jim, Energon and greatest, those two words don't go together in the same sense, just as a reminder.
Energon is the series that gave us that the original, Wing Saber that Star Saber was a homage to. Remember?
Yeah.
And
that was actually a request from the Japanese to Hasbro Internal. They wanted to have a Star Saber homage character. But the thing, especially with Car Robots and Robots in Disguise, was from an engineering standpoint, it was – you clearly saw if you were someone who messed with the year prior to that Beast Wars Neo, you saw a lot of the engineering very similar to that of shell forming, using extensive ball joints for just parts of the body. I mean, if you look at Speedbreaker, a.k.a. Cyburn,
yeah.
He's a prime example of that. And even if you look at the case of even his brothers, if you will, Wild Ride, known as Expron, and Mach Alert, known as Prowl, you see that there's large amounts of – I don't want to say shell forming for the other two, but you do see a whole arm is a shield, a whole arm is the side of the car, which was very similar to that of, say, Brake from Beast Wars Neo or Long Rack. I almost 100% get a feeling it was the same designers on both of those lines that just bled over to the next one.
Well, it also had been so long since they had done vehicles other than Viacons themselves, which really wasn't – we're all sorry.
I think that was a different engineering crew too. I think that if I remember, Aaron Archer talking about this in one of the later Hartman Bachans. I think it was Drexhall and another studio that was actually American based that did a lot of the designs, which then became the engineering of the Beast Machine stuff. So that's why there's such a huge gap in design and engineering between those two series, despite it being only a year apart.
Right.
Where when you look at where you look at Neo to Car Robots, it's very similar. You know, despite the fact that they're not animals, but it's very similar. And what I wanted to mention also about the best of thing, which is interesting, if you look at Car Robots alone itself, not counting Robots in the Skies, all of the Deathstrongers or Decepticons or Predacons, whatever you want to call them, all of them, with the exception of Gigatron and his Devil Gigatron version later, everyone else is a pre-existing mold. Yep. Every single toy was. Like you had the Beast Machines, Transmetal 2s were pre-existing molds. You had all of the Combatrons, which was Scourge, which was used from the Laserrod Prime, the Bruticus, which was Valdigus, which was called Ruination. There's so many names I have to, like, jump off the top of my head here. The Spy Changers, all of them were based off of the old GoBots from G2. And and what I loved about this line was when it did become Robots in Disguise over here, they used it as an excuse to then release all those unreleased molds that came from G2.
I was going to mention that.
Okay, go ahead.
Later. I just want to mention that was, we got the Megabolt Megatron. We got the repaint of the Hero Megatron as Bludgeon. We got the Hero Optimus with the head, the air pump launchers as Scourge.
There's tons more.
There's Bruticus, which
I mean, this is the wrong one. It just happens to be on my desk right now. But like this one too. Oh, head's not up. This one too, which was again a brand new mold made from the Spy Changer concept. Mind you, it was in Scourge colors, and they did the same thing with X-Bron. And then they dug up a whole bunch of unused G2 molds, which was RID Sideswipe, RID Daytonus, which is an awesome name that they never revisited ever again. Right. What was the other two names? There was Sideburn and Prowl. Yeah.
And then
had guns that could store in the vehicle, by the way.
Yeah, and that was what was cool too, was because that was like that next step of engineering. And we never got that in G2. They were holdovers because they were planning something called a building block kind of line that was available in Japan. It was in the
Creo. It's what the subscription service CarZap is based off of.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the aborted, because you have like a little Lego style set with a transformer. And that, for those people that are following the Transformers, the next subscription service, CarZap, that comes with a Creo GB Blackrock, is based on that theme from Blocktown that was canceled in Japan.
Yeah.
Which would be a Transformer, a Spy Changer, and a Lego set, Lego based style building set.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it in the. I heard it. This is a bad photo of it. You're probably not going to be able to see it, but in the Generations book, they had it. Showing off all this, the Blocktown stuff.
Now, not all the stuff that we got later on in RID over here was great, like Bruticus, the three-headed dog. That was not a great use of plastic.
I'll give it credit. It was interesting. I mean, the fact that they tried to do like three heads in both modes. It was nice that we got a unique mold made out of it. I think that considering that they wanted Robots in Disguise to be a placeholder year until they could get that really awesome Armada out that they were working so hard on, you know, pick your poison if you actually liked it or not. Mm-hmm. But I think they really wanted to kind of tone it back on how many unique molds would be made for this. And when you really think about it, you know, even stuff like Air Attack Optimus Primal, that was a carryover from Beast Machines. You mentioned before the Megatron was also a carryover from Beast Machines. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was pre-existing molds. Even when you go really – when you go to the tail end of Robots in Disguise, where you get G-Axis and the Stormjet, which was like the first – God, Stormjet. Everyone was like scalping that at one point. Oh my God. A homage repaint of a character, which was like a big deal back then.
Oh, yeah. You know? It was.
And like, I have to say, it's a jet that's covered like jet fire. It's got to be worth $100. Like, it was, that was so weird back then. I mean, today now, like, homage repaints are a dime a dozen, but back then that was something special.
Well, and speaking of jet fires, I mean, you can get brand new jet fires.
You get the nice one now, but no, that's just it. And it. Like, it was, the majority of the line was just using old molds, bringing up old molds that didn't exist. So Bruticus was something different. It was something weird.
It was something different,
but I give it credit for that. Where when you take that figure and you put it aside compared to everything else, it's one of the few figures in the Robots in Disguise umbrella that was specifically made for that line. Wasn't taken from Car Robots. Wasn't taken from a past idea. It was specifically made. So I give it credit for that. And I think that part of the reason probably it had shortcomings was because there was so much focus on this Micron Legend Robots in the Sky. Micron Legend Armada that was coming out the following year, that I think they probably got like one dude in engineering to go, just throw something together. We need to balance off the bad guys or something.
Yeah.
You know?
That figure always bugged me for the main reason that you have this three-headed dog called Bruticus, you know, completely new character we haven't seen before. And in the same line, you have the molds that were previously released, you know, as the Combaticons to form the original Bruticus, not called Bruticus.
Funny story with that, actually. And that screwed over Joel at Big Bad Toy Store. He had two guys there who were working there, and they had a huge list of, like, you know, because at the time they didn't put the sticker prices on their figures, and some guy said, how much for this Bruticus here? And the guy who was working at the table didn't know that Bruticus the dog, and like, because he would look at the list, and he was pointing at Ruination. And he's like, how much for this Ruination? The guy looks at the list and he goes, okay, RID Ruination. Like, you know, he looks at it and goes, okay, RID Bruticus, $14.99. Obviously referring to the dog. And he sold it for that. I understand. That's what created such a huge confusion, too, because a lot of people, they look at that Ruination or Valdigus or whatever. And if you don't really know what his name is, you're going to look at a list for RID figures and be like, oh, that's the Bruticus. That's got to be the Bruticus, you know? Like, But you know what? That was the same line that gave us Scourge as a Black Optimus Prime, where prior to that, we never associated that name with that kind of concept. Today, we're kind of used to seeing, oh, if it's a Black Optimus Prime, it could be a Nemesis Prime. But now we accept it kind of as a Scourge, and it's not a sweep. But back then, that was a new thing. That was like, oh, we're going to use that. And the name Scourge was just a carryover because Hasbro's like, well, we haven't used that Scourge from that Transmetal 2 Wasp thingy, so we got to use it again. Otherwise, it expires. So they used it again, and they threw it on something.
I don't know. For me, Scourge will always be a flying bar of soap. I'm sorry.
Me too.
I have to say another thing for all you folks out there wondering, oh, they're going to talk about that RID show again. Once again, I think it was a great show, and it made it a great transition from the Beast world, the Beast universe, into this more classical Transformers show, as we can call it. And when it comes to the toys, they brought us what we talked about so far, really great toys, new thinking in engineering somewhat, and they also brought back a lot of these combiners, including some new ones, the JRX set.
One of my favorites, favorites.
And what they actually also brought, which was sorely absent in Beast Wars, somewhat sorely absent in Beast Machines, they actually also, what pretty much Car Robots and Robots in Disguise brought us, was show accuracy, which was almost every character in that show looked like his toy, and vice versa. Like, Beast Machines suffered from that heavily. Beast Wars, it was hit or miss. But at least with Car Robots, there wasn't a single toy that didn't look like its show counterpart and could do what it looked like also, which was really cool. Which wasn't something we weren't used to something like that at that point. We weren't used to looking at an Optimus Primal toy and expecting it to look like the show counterpart. It was usually hit or miss.
Yeah, it's sort of like the first Beast Machines Optimus Primal.
Oh my god!
Versus the Blast Punch Primal.
Well, Or the air attack one later.
So that's why we're talking about this again, folks. It's an interesting show, but the real interesting part in this is the toy design, because if it wasn't for R.I.D., I don't know where we've been today. It went from there. It was a kind of stepping stone for the modern Transformer toys, I think. Yeah.
It was. It really showed Takara, which had it initially, it really showed Takara that there was a huge interest in vehicles again, that it was time to transition back from that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, engineering-wise, we saw where it went with Armada, and we kind of recessed a little bit, because it was kind of like we got teased with these really cool cars with rubber tires and, you know, really, 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 like, Diclone-looking designs. And then we went to Armada, which was, I mean,
it's like I'm not going to drag just up, but basically, Armada suffered because of the gimmick.
Yeah.
So the toy suffered from an individual standpoint of having to have the gimmick built in. So whereas with car robots, this is the OTFC. I just have them handy. The Sunstreaker from the Prowl mold. I just happen to have them handy right here. The gimmick was transformation.
Yep.
That was the gimmick for car robots, or combining, whatever the case may be.
There very was. I mean, if there was a gimmick, it was because it was a carryover from a G2 thing, like a flip changer or something. But in general, the gimmick was nice transformation. And on top of that, nice transformation, interiors that looked like the interiors of cars, which was like the way that Mach Alert Prowl's feet also made the seats of the car. It was very well done. Each little wheel kind of had Cybertron written on it in rubber. Like, there was a lot of – I mean, if anyone gets a chance, if someone really likes that X-Bron mold, go out of your way and pick up the Japanese version Wild Ride. And you're going to have your mind blown, because there was so much extra sculpted detail on the wheels and stuff. Not on the wheels, on the rear lights and everything. They actually had to remove those because the sculpting was so nice and accurate that it was very easy to break. And they were worried that it could be a choking hazard and everything. But it's just, there was so much nice stuff that line put out that it was quite interesting to see then the transition to Armada, and why Armada got so much hate. Was because you got Car Robots, which was a celebration of almost everything Transformers up to that point, because you had G1 molds, you had Beast Wars molds, you had G2 molds, you had, I mean, in the Robots in Disguise side of things, you even had Machine Wars molds. You had, like, literally every line that has come up to that point put into one line, and you were able to pick up all of it modern, today, right now, and then here's Armada, and it's preschool, but I mean I can understand people's perspective at that point. I mean, it gave us Unicron, so I can't argue with that,
So speaking about there were a lot of combiner toys, and we also got the Build King, I think it's called,
yes,
in Japan. Yeah, it's a great
another amazing engineering where it could be arms and legs and the twisting of it. And again, show accuracy. They showed that in the show too, to like make it a selling point. Like, that whole line was great.
Yeah. Even in the show, the transformation series for the Build Team, you would have the three, Grimlock, Hightower, and Heavy Load, or Build Cyclone, and Build Hurricane, I believe, all link up together in that tri-union. And then, from there, rotate to whichever mode was going to be the arms. And then, I mean,
that was great.
People playing with the toys on screen almost. And it was wonderful.
That's what I said. Show accuracy was such a rare thing. And this show, every aspect of it had, like, the show accuracy was so dead on that if you watch the stock footage of Omega Prime or Super Godfire Convoy, the fact that they shake hands and then the hand flips over into it, and the toy does that.
Exactly.
Where you have to make them shake hands, and then it goes, like, that's how show accurate this show was. It was crazy, and we just, nothing like that up to that. G1 didn't have show accuracy. G2, toy comic book accuracy, I guess, if you want to be You know, like, I mean, Beast Wars, it was hit or miss, and Beast Machines was a clusterfuck. Yeah. You know, like,
probably the most comic accurate G2 figure is probably a G2 Masterpiece G2 Sideswipe.
Now, I love that toy. Oh my god.
But now, for the toys, I'm going to have to say this is my favorite. And it's no surprise, I've said it before, I'll keep saying it no matter how many times people laugh at me. Optimus Prime, Fire Convoy. The best, my favorite non-Masterpiece Prime. And probably my favorite toy of all time.
When he came out, I mean, he pretty much was the best Optimus Prime toy ever made. Because, I mean, prior to him coming out, everyone's like, oh, Laserzrod Prime is the best Prime toy ever made. Everyone really liked that design. And then Fire Convoy came out, and it's like, oh, my God, opening Matrix chess kind of thing going on. It had the lights and sound gimmick. It had the transformation. That made
Maximize.
Yeah, oh, wait, well. Go to Fire Combo. Super Modo. But, you know, like, all of that, you know, it was so different. And the chrome chest, the fact that it made a base, like, it did everything that was so absent for like more than 10 years, because Beast Wars didn't have something like that. Beast Machines didn't have something like that. You could argue, okay, yeah, Machine Wars had that, but it really did not exist for a very long while. And then this toy came in. It was super articulated. You could do like really cool poses with the smaller Fire Convoy. And a lot of people, and again, the reason why you would have that sentiment is because then you would go to Armada Optimus Prime. You would go to Super Link Optimus Prime or Fatimus. You know, like, I will argue Cybertron Optimus Prime, Galaxy Force Optimus Prime, really damn good toy. And I think that it wasn't until that one came out that Fire Convoy just always held the title. Like, I you probably know what I'm talking about. The Trannies, if you remember those back in the day?
Yes.
Yeah.
By Rob Jung. There used to be a voting of what was the best Transformer toys, best characters every year back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Uh-huh. And Fire Convoy would always get number one for the longest time before those got discontinued, those Trannies, as they were called, instead of the Emmys. But I'm dating myself.
One of my favorite features as far as the RID Prime or Fire Convoy or Fire Convoy, whatever you want to call him, was the fact that all the different segments of that figure's armor, you know, the parts of the fire truck, could combine in universally different ways to make these different attack modes, some of which were used for the show. There was an episode I remember where the pieces that would become the feet normally mounted on the shoulders, and he used those rocket launchers that are on the inner parts of those sections.
And that's in the opening credits in the American version, too.
Yeah, it is. He also used one of the larger arms just on his own arm, and had it launch off, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was called the Fire
Ladder.
Yeah. Rocket Punch.
Yeah, but he did that in the show, too, and didn't – it wasn't statically locked into one mode, and then all of a sudden all the way in the other mode. You know, he was able to pick and choose bits and pieces here and there, and that was like a screen representation of playing with the toy. Like I said a little bit ago,
show accuracy to the max, and that's what was so great about it was there was nothing you couldn't do that you were seeing on the screen, nothing.
And we also got a decent Magnus toy, former God Magnus. We already mentioned it. You could combine him with the Fire Convoy.
And
something I always thought would be funny, though, is that, like, if he did that with the different parts and pieces, but if he was mad at Ultra Magnus, just took off with his arms and legs and just ran around with those and left him as a torso. Yeah, jerk.
Tobias, I put a link over in the chat. I'm not sure if it'll work or not. If anyone wants to see what they look like combined into Godfire Convoy or Omega Prime, that's a picture of the shelf that I've got. If it'll work for you, I'm not sure if it will or not.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it up right here.
This photo bucket's a little funny.
And what was interesting too about God Magnus, especially when he would then become renamed Ultra Magnus, was he was probably one of the few Ultra Magnus toys for the longest time. And I mean, I'm trying to think of when it stopped becoming Optimus Prime repaints outside of, say, the Titanium. But in general, like, I mean, God Magnus was one of these cases where he's his own unique mold, and that's that. It's not an Optimus Prime repaint. It's not like, you know, an Optimus Prime remold. It's a straight up his own toy. And I think, I'm trying, outside of the Titanium, I think it wasn't until War for Cybertron did Magnus really just get, here, this is your own. Actually, no, that was a repaint too. Man, shit.
Yeah, and I put up the picture here now. Sorry. But there it is.
Yeah. Now, now that's actually the Toys R Us. That's the Toys R Us exclusive. That's the clear Godfire Convoy set because it came with the Master
Sword. Because the sword there.
Yeah.
Sam's Club yellow one too.
Yeah, I didn't get the Sam's Club Ultra Magnus because there's a quick story behind that. The year that yellow Prime came out, so did the Ultra Magnus. The Ultra Magnus was not changed except for some blues were turned into blacks. The thing of it is, though, each two different divisions of Sam's had requested an exclusive. But they didn't know the other one was working on the other toy and that these toys combined. So the color schemes do not in any way mesh up. Literally... They got two of the two toys in Sam's Club on a pallet, and they did not know that the other division of Sam's was getting this exclusive, and the colors do not match up at all.
That's kind of crazy because I mean I remember having seen them in Sam's Club together on the shelf there. So.
Yeah, it's just you know it was requested. It was the request came from two different parts of Sam's Club.
Wow,
I'm not sure of what happened, but I'm trying to find a picture now so you could see. Oh, absolutely hideous it looked. I had one at one point. Oh, there it is. Here we go. I'm not. I'll see if I'm putting this in the chat. I hope this works. It's an Angel Fire site. You know, Angel Fire.
That's Angel Fire.
Everything comes full circle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see if that works. Yeah, if that works, that is the Sam's Club Omega Prime / Godfire Convoy.
Yeah, let's see here. Here it comes. And. There it is, I think.
Uh-huh. Ain't that garish?
It's not too horrible.
Okay.
But I like it.
Yeah, but that's the result of the Sam's Club exclusive. That's why you don't see that on my shelf.
Yeah.
But I will before I say one more thing real quick. JRX / Rail Racer.
Uh-huh.
One of the best combiners ever. I wish we could get a reissue of him in some different colors.
I'm surprised they've never repainted it. I'm very surprised.
I asked about that, if I remember right, at one of the past BotCons, but they had cited the cost in bringing those back out, and that the cost at retail wouldn't justify putting those molds back out.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
well, they were sold individually as Voyagers, which was – you know, especially when you sell them in vehicle mode like that, they're very thin and phallic. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to sell it very easily. Like, yeah, you're paying like $29 and it's really compact. And, but those molds, like, and I probably should say this to people who are listening, don't pick up the Japanese version though, because I believe it was J7, which was, I want to say Rapid Run. His joints in the Japanese version are a clear plastic that is extremely fragile. And if you make the JRX mode, you run a risk of really breaking it clean. And there's been multiple reports of this. Now, the American version, so lucky for you, the more easier one to get, doesn't suffer from that because they saw what happened with the Japanese version. So they used a clear, malleable white plastic for, I think it's Rapid Run was the one that had it. I don't know the problem is I know the Japanese, it's J7, but I think it was Rapid Run. The one with the yellow face, whoever that is. Rapid Run, I think.
Yeah, I think it is Rapid Run. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, like the American version. So if you pick up, if you want to get a GRX, don't get the Japanese version. It's very risky.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and another thing that it brought back from the G1 era was Brave Max, the Fortress Maximus mold.
That's true.
Yes.
We can't forget that one.
Oh, I remember when that was announced. Alt.Toys. Every news site, Alt.Toys. Transformers was still.
ATT was still a thing.
Oh, man. Everybody just absolutely lost their crap.
Yep.
And I remember like reading everything. Oh, it doesn't pass the drop tests and it doesn't pass. There's also something called the tape test, which is they put a piece of tape on a spinning wheel and then they put the figure against it in certain areas to see if it's sharp enough to cut the tape. And if it cuts the tape, then it's sharp enough to cut the skin. So like it didn't pass this test, it didn't pass that test. And then people were saying, oh, it would be too expensive in retail.
Well, here's the main thing. Did it pass the fish test?
Oh, did it?
Oh, I was making a joke.
Oh, I don't know. That's why I didn't.
I got that.
Yeah, probably the most famous episode of Robots in Disguise is called the fish test.
The fish test. That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a real test. But that's just it. Probably like there, it was, and the funny thing is that toy. I mean, G1ers will chew me out, but I always felt that that color scheme was way better than Fortress Maximus, at least the city mode especially.
Yeah, because it looked like a city in city mode.
At nighttime, it looked great.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it had three different releases. That one had the original Japanese release. It had a lucky – not a lucky draw version, but like kind of like a limited mail-away version that came with a placemat. And then – there was this really good Korean version that came out, which, I mean, I think like 90% of people that I know that have Brave Maximus have the Korean version because it was just so much cheaper and easier to get. I mean, it was like $100 flat, mint in box from BBTS when it first came out. And that was pretty awesome. And I mean, I think what was missing on that one?
Yeah. The mat was actually on the back of the instruction manual.
Really?
Yeah, and there on some of them, and there was no weapons, of course.
Yeah.
Because that's where you actually – a lot of people trace the third party, the rise of the third party, back to Brave Maximus and people using their G1 Fortress Maximus weapons as casts to make casts and then make their weapons for Brave Max. So a lot of people in the third-party forums and stuff, the people that I've talked to at BotCons, a lot of people call Brave Max the reason we started getting a third-party subculture. Because I remember several parts parties from your predecessor, Program Man, that people were spending $50 and $60 per Fortress Maximus gun. And the eBay prices were going through the roof. eBay was just starting out then, and eBay prices were going through the roof for Fortress Maximus guns. I mean, if you had scrounged up enough Fortress Maximus guns and everything, you could have made a fortune off those in the early days.
Back in the day, anything Fortress, like you would get a loose, empty Fortress Maximus, yellowed, nothing on it, missing the head. And someone would get $700 for it.
Yes.
And it was like a build your Fortress Maximus. Here's how you start your starter kit. You know, like back. I remember once. I remember Kilby pointed this out. Brian Kilby. It's like there was a complete G1 Prowl sold for $1,000 during the early days of eBay. And I was just like, what is going on? You know, like it was nuts back then.
And AFA grading didn't exist at this time.
And it was funny because during those early days, and again, I'm dating myself here, the only way you were able to get Transformers online back in the day, this is even before eBay, was there was a website called Starbase Rugby. You probably know what I'm talking about.
I remember Starbase Rugby. They were at
That was like the one place that was like, here's a list. And the list was actually an image. It was a GIF file. And it was a huge list. And it's like, here's all the stuff I have for sale. Here's a G1 Rodimus without the spoiler. And here's me, like, 14-year-old proto man staring at the screen going like, oh, man, I got to get that. You know, like, because, you know, this was like the days of – it was either garage sales, conventions, or nothing. You didn't have much choice to find old G1 toys. There wasn't like specialty stores that's focused only on vintage toys like we have today and everything, or whole stores dedicated to toys. You had to really hope to find that stuff in a Value Village or a Salvation Army or whatever, you know, thrift stores existed, especially during those times. So it was very difficult to find a nice, minty, complete G1 toy. And then Starbase Rugby came around with pretty crazy-ass prices back then. Now that I think about it, it was like, wow, Rodimus, like, you know, missing the spoiler and gun, $85. And it's like, you know, back then, too. Well, because you didn't have a choice. It was like a supply and demand back then. And eBay came around and kind of leveled that a little bit. But even early eBay, like I just said, it was a little crazy at first where, like, you know, a complete G1 Prowl, $1,000. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. Mm. And then, of course, the reissues came out, like the book box reissues came out and totally destroyed all of that. But, well, I mean.
Well, what are y'all's favorite RID toys? Mm. I mean, have y'all got
to be on the spot one moment.
Yeah.
I have to say, I agree with you with our Rail Racer team. I think it's great. We had talked about it before, but there's another toy that I haven't got yet. It was an exclusive to the States, and it was Cryotech.
Yes.
That's a great repaint of Transmetal Megatron.
An interesting thing with that toy was Cryotech, he actually had a limited Japanese release. And the Japanese release of Cryotech, and the only way to tell the difference is they have the exact same box, just there's a little bit of Japanese writing written on the back. His spark chamber, whatever, that would have there actually was a driver in the Japanese version. If you look online, it's really hard to find good photos of it, but if you look online, I don't own the Japanese one personally, but I remember reading up on, I think, Remy's TF Kong or whatever it was. He had a really good photo shoot that showed.
He did some awesome photo shoots.
He's like the godfather of high quality photos.
Remy, if you hear this and you're still with us,
I know he's not with us. I don't know where he is in this. He just like stopped after like Energon or something.
Yeah, but please come back and share your photos with us.
Because he was like, but like I remember back in the day, like he took a photo shoot and he showed the comparison. I remember Cryotech was one of those examples that he had a very limited, weird Japanese release. That very different, a very little subtle difference between the two, because originally the Beast Wars, whatever, they had spark drivers and they got rid of that idea. But for some weird reason, the Cryotech one in Japan kept the spark driver.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, now people look on eBay. Good luck. But
$1,000. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It's one. He found a photo. Let me take a look.
I have a photo here. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, see, there you go, the spark driver. Like, and only to the Japanese release, which – and the sad thing is that the – like, you could look at 100 eBay auctions of Mint and Box Cryotechs, but you won't know it's the Japanese one unless it's the back of the box and there's Japanese writing right at the bottom where the registration and the trademark is. That's the only way to tell the difference.
Okay. So,
Tobias,
I mean, if you're trying to hunt one down, that's, you know, just a word of advice. That's the best way you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, I have to get that one then.
Do you remember, Tobias, when that came out? Do you remember the early photos when Cryotech first surfaced?
And they thought it was fake.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
It's Photoshopped.
The boards were – it was the biggest flame war we had seen since the creation of Beast Wars.
I remember Brian talking about that. Like I think it was Tony Fitz was talking about it, where it's like, you know, people were saying like, oh, you could see in the background that everything is kind of shaded of blue, so they photoshopped it. And and then in the end, it was real.
And it's great repaint. I love the colors for it.
Oh, man. It is. And an important character later on. Yeah. All of a sudden, then he would go backwards and kind of really become something important in Beast Wars, which is ironic considering he was an RID release that came out much later.
That's true.
And what's cool is I've got my Cryotech holding my Cryotech from Visionary's Power Staff.
which is exactly where the name came from too.
Exactly. It
was a Hasbro registered name through Visionaries.
Yes.
And you would get there was a repaint of Rav, which was one of the deployer weapons.
Deployers.
Yeah.
That was in blue.
Unofficially, they call him Cryo, which was like his bird.
Yeah.
So if you're a Cryotech collector, you got to pick that up too.
Well, Cryotech like giving his enemies the bird.
Yeah. But no, like, yeah, I totally forgot about that mold. Shit, I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, oh man, there's one other toy, and actually, I posted it because it was RID's birthday not too long ago, and I posted it on Twitter.
This year's the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, Wonderfest recently did. Not recently, but Wonderfest back in the day, they used to have like one day licenses for stuff. And me, I always eat up that stuff. And let me find, I posted images of it. Let me see.
It's so pricey. It's so hard to get. And some of it's so expensive.
Find you. It was a couple days ago. I got to go through all my photos here. Post too many prototype stuff. Oh, there we go. Okay. It's a picture of my RID Autobots. Let me get the link. I'll put it up. And I guess Tobias could share it with everyone here. This was a extremely rare thing. They only made 50 of them, and it was at Wonderfest. And it's actually an official Transformer product from Car Robots, Robots in Disguise, which was the clear PVC Ichon or Tai.
Right, yeah. Wow.
And they only made 50 of those, and that was at Wonderfest.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And, I mean, I picked one up at BotCon, I want to say BotCon 2005, maybe 2006, and I bought it from Hiro Gongo, and he was asking $100. And in my opinion, I thought that was a good price.
Yeah.
Because, like, that shows up – that's like a BotCon find. That shows up once in a while at BotCon, but, I mean – really, there's two photos I think I posted. Yeah, one showing the comparison there.
This is the first one.
And then the second one shows the packaging, too, also. Like, I think I had it on the display.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is it's 1,000% less creepy than the next Tai figure.
Than the one that came after. That was done by Yuki Oshima, the creator of Kissplay. He actually designed that PVC.
Yeah, so...
Which also, Yuki Oshima was a regular at Wonderfest, and that's actually how he got the job for Kissplay, which was, anyways, craziness.
I will show you the second picture here.
The second one, yeah, it shows the comparison of the size compared to everything else, and it shows the packaging.
Yeah. I think it's up there now. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Like, see, it came with a little blister, and then it had TF00 because it was like, you know, everything was numbered. So
yeah.
it was supposed to be the 00. And see, also, because I had multiples of the different Car Brothers, because I have Japanese version, American version, there was always little subtle differences between them. I'm a little crazy like that. anything that's like a mild mold difference. And that shot, too, it actually showed the JustCo exclusives also of Car Robots. They had the clear repaints of everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting stuff that came out of that line.
And I think it was like an interesting question you asked that on other favorites from this line. We had talked about Fire Convoy, and we talked about the Rail Racers, not even called that. What is called Team Bullet or something like that.
The build team, yeah.
Team Bullet Train.
Yeah. Jim, another favorite from this line. Do you got something there?
I'll tell you, there was so much in this line. To say that anything is not your favorite is not really unbelievable, because the whole line was so great. But for me, what I really liked that stood out was the build team. I think by far and away it has to be my favorite set, simply because of its universal connectivity as far as what's, you know, either leg or both arms. You know, and there's so many variations you can do with their weapons. You can, you know, do the arms a different way. I mean, it was just a wonderful design. You know, and I've never seen another sort of combination style as that, where you would have the triune in there, the link up in the middle, and then the torso just attaches to the front, which the Transformer exhibit at the Indianapolis Children's Museum seems to have screwed up and has webs.
Oh yeah,
in front of the rest of his body for some reason.
Well, what's funny about that too, they also, in that display, they said it was one of the hardest Transformers to transform. And I was like, have you ever messed with it, right. All right, with a Revenge of the Fallen toy?
Or Trifranticus.
Watching at home, you go to Indianapolis Children's Museum and see Rail Racer in the display case. His torso is supposed to be with the rest of his body, not in front of it.
It's probably season 3 with Hotspot standing beside Defensor.
Yes. Yes, kind of like that. But, I mean, you could even change up the head if you want. You could have Red with the Wedge with the Landfill head, or you could have Landfill with the Wedge head. I mean, just there was so many fun things to do. You know, I used to take the sheet or the claw from Heavy Load, have him hold it as if it were a shield, and then I would take the machine gun, which was the crane arm from Hightower, and pivot it upward to where it was more like a sword, and that was always my favorite thing.
Did you have the Target Decepticon recolor a couple years later?
I have over the years owned all three color schemes of that mold. I've had the standard, the red, yellow, green, and orange, which are the colors for Revenge of the Fallen Devastator, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Well, Revenge of the Fallen Devastator does belong in a landfill.
Ah, I like that. I like that. yeah, it was a Target exclusive green and purple Devastator redeco that was two different two packs. You had to buy both two packs to be able to get the full set of four to combine them. Yeah. And I've owned it was a Black Friday 2003 Walmart exclusive.
Walmart.
Yellow set. It was a box set, which was only $20 for all four when it came out on Black Friday that day. It's like $5 a figure. That's what's not to love.
Yeah, that was definitely. Well, so many good toys.
Yes.
Let's, Tobias. Do you want to talk about the cartoon?
Yeah, let's talk about the cartoon. I mentioned it before. I remember when I was seeing it for the first time. It was not back in 2001. It was actually way later I saw that one. But I thought, this is a great transition from the Beast universe.
Yes.
Because you remember the first episode when Megatron arrives? Or
Gigatron.
Yeah, Gigatron, sorry.
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing, yeah. But his name was Gigatron, and he arrives at Earth, and all this turmoil begins. I think it's great, great transition, a great start. Then it got ruined in Armada, but that's another discussion.
This just happened.
Yeah. Well, what I liked, especially in terms of story from it, was when it first came out, we weren't sure, because up to that point, in terms of Transformers, we were so used to a ongoing, continuative story. We were used to, like, you know, Beast Wars was a sequel to what could have been maybe G2, what could have been maybe G1. Beast Machines was a sequel to that. Machine Wars, we were trying to plug it in somewhere. And the only time we ever really had a sub-continuity was the Marvel Comics. And then when Car Robots came around, we were, you know, people at first were trying to plug it in. Is this a sequel to Beast Machines? You know, are they going back to Earth? And within the Car Robot story, the explanation was that the Deathstrongers or the Decepticons were time traveling pirates that we didn't know where their origins come from. And to this day, we still don't even know where they really came from. But they're time traveling pirates. And Fire Convoy and them were guys that were on Earth in the year 2000, hiding, waiting to get stuff done. Years later, we would learn that through Kissplay, one of the good things that Kissplay actually gave us was an explanation of the timeline of G1 and explaining, you know, who Brave Maximus is. Why does Fortress Maximus and Brave Maximus look alike? There's so much explanation that came from Kissplay that then solidified Car Robots, a number mainly because Kissplay was based in the same universe in the same time And the explanation that Brave Maximus went back in time, he crashed on the Planet Master, the Headmasters used Brave Maximus as the template for Fortress Maximus. Brave Maximus was created by Primus to keep Unicron's essence inside Earth using all kinds of connections. I should really pull up the Kissplay art book, which I own that too, but it has the full explanation of what Car Robots was in the timeline, and essentially what it boils down to was there was a manga that was released called The Battles Stargate Battles, I know it has a weird title to it, where at the end of season 2 Optimus Prime and all the Autobots had to go into space to fight Megatron because he was doing some big evil plan, and he left Fire Convoy in charge to watch over Earth from the year 2000 up to 2004. And so that's when Car Robots happened, was while Optimus Prime, this is actually canon, this is what the story is that G1 Optimus Prime left Fire Convoy behind to watch over Earth while he was off fighting Megatron, he would come back. So during that time, while he was watching over Earth, some guy from space, back in the future, back in time, Gigatron came and started trouble. And then they uncover Brave Maximus that was created by Primus. And this, again, was written in the mangas. And the Primus figure that they use to represent Primus was this Lucky Draw. Actually, I actually own it, which is the Lucky Draw Rodimus repaint, which people know today was the G1 Rodimus repaint. I'm actually looking at it right now. It was cool because it writes God Rodimus on God Primus on it. So, it had a really interesting story, Car Robots. And, Robots in Disguise, the way that it was written was more kind of homaging G1, dropping names here and there. Oh, hey, there's a race car driver named Augie Kane. That's a throwback to the old G1 episode. Oh, hey, this character that's named Mirage, which was called Counter Arrow in the Japanese version, but this character's named Mirage, and Ironhide doesn't really trust him, thinks he's a traitor. That's a throwback to when Cliffjumper didn't trust Mirage and thought he was a traitor. Again, using those names to make connections. And within the dub of Car Robots, Robots in Disguise, there was tons of stuff, dropping the name Viacon, naming, the use of the term Sparks and everything. There were so many. I found that the dub of Car Robots was not really something to take too much seriously, but just kind of a celebration of Transformers and all the brand up to that point, much like the toy line was, where Car Robots was the true official story and explaining. And also, that's why you don't end up with two characters named Optimus Prime and two characters named Ultra Magnus and someone named Prowl who really isn't Prowl. At least with Car Robots, everyone had a unique name. Everyone wasn't – even you had Skids, but he was called – oh, my God. What was his name? That was Skidzy. Indy Heat. He had Indy Heat. Heat, instead of being called Towline, you had Wrecker Hook. Everyone had unique names in the Car Robots version, so it didn't really overlap with whatever existed in G1 up to that point. Again, even Fire Convoy. I think the only time there was something that overlapped was there was a character called Artfire, and a lot of people speculate that to this day, because the thing is that if you look at those two unique Target Masters that existed back in G1, which was you had Artfire and you had Stepper. And you look at Artfire and Stepper. Now, Artfire was the repaint of Inferno, and Stepper was the repaint of Jazz. But if you look at the character of Artfire, which was in Car Robots, which was a black Porsche with flames on his chest, and then you look at Stepper, which was a black Porsche with flames on his chest, there was speculation that there actually was a mix-up with the names, and the character of Artfire in Car Robots was meant to be Stepper. So, there's a lot of interesting stuff from a behind-the-scenes design standpoint with that whole series, with the story, and to this day, the story is still reflected back. There's still times where people pull stuff from RID because it was such a turning point in our hobby. From a design standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, because now there was no more ongoing continuity. There was the idea that there could be separate – at the time, it was considered a separate continuity. It was its own thing. There was a lot of interesting stuff, tons of stuff. I'm rambling, but, there's tons.
One thing we wanted to bring up for those of y'all that are new to the show, TFYLP does have a fan page on Facebook. Just look us up on TFYLP. A couple of viewer comments on the show so far, just to bring it up.
We got here, Jason Pate says, a thumbs up on the Rail Racer and Build King. How many of us have Brave Max? It's the only version he's got, and he passed on the Fort Max because he prefers the Brave Max colors, which you were talking about earlier about the night mode. So do we all have Brave Max? I got
all three, and I will honestly say that I agree Brave Max is the nicest of the three, hands down.
Okay, anyone that has a Brave Max they don't want, send to Tobias, care of PFL.
That's a lot of shipping, though.
Yeah.
Ignoring the price of the toy, the shipping alone is going to...
It's going to ruin me.
Well, thank you, Jason. We appreciate that. Mike Boyle, he loves the GRX Rail Racer. He's one of his favorite combiners. He sold his Brave Max off, but he kept most of the original figures. And just, you know, basically he kept the Japanese version versus the American ones. I'll just say that I imported all of the Japanese stuff. Well, a fair amount of the Japanese stuff because we're never going to see this in the U.S. This is a Japanese series. I imported the first two waves, which was, you know, all the big stuff. Optimus Prime, the Car Robot Brothers. Mm-hmm. I think it was JRX.
JRX was Wave
2. And then I waited to find Ruination or Voltagus because BotCon was coming up soon that year after the show premiered. So I was going to wait and get that locally when my money rebuilt. So, I know the feeling about that. Let's see here. Now, Simi says, hey. Jason Tate again. He's echoed my sentiments. He wants to see another three robot combiner team like Rail Racer, because to me a three robot combiner is very hard to pull off. Look at Road Caesar. I know that's an older example, but Road Caesar just does not work well.
His fat legs.
Fat legs.
Yeah, I mean, give that robot a sandwich or something, you know?
It'll go to his thighs.
Now that you mention it, it's outside of Tri Predacus, Magnaboss, which, in all honesty, that's your opinion if you consider those good combiners. I mean, some people like them, some people don't.
I like them, but they're very difficult, even for looking at it and versus, say, Revenge of the Fallen. They were Revenge of the Fallen toys for their time.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. For their time, they were, I mean, compared to Revenge of the Fallen, now they're quite easy. But, I will agree, there probably were some of the more difficult, especially Tri-Predacus. A lot of people didn't like Tri-Predacus. And he was a little fragile, too, because of the clear plastic.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to mention just briefly, as far as a three-member combiner, we did get, if you remember, Generations Minicon Assault Team that turned into...
Oh, right. And you know what, now that you mentioned it, Perceptor, which was, they called him Perceptor, but yeah, the Street Action Team, you're right, because that's why I was looking behind me, and I'm like, they for sure they had those, and then they did it again for Energon, when they had another, and they called him Cliff that time.
Yeah.
There must be something I'm forgetting, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you count more Minicon stuff, like, oh, hey, the Star Saber Sword and the Skyboom Shield and Astro Blaster.
I'm hoping...
Turatron is the only other one.
Yeah.
I'm hoping with Combiner Wars, once we get past the G1 focus, if it lasts that long, I would like to see them tackle Road Caesar and JRX in Combiner Wars materials and engineering. So that way...
That would be interesting.
Landcross or GTFO?
Well, it looks like IDW's ongoing fiction is a strong reflection of what's going on in terms of what toys we will be getting from the Generations line. And Hasbro recognizes the adult fans for the Generations line. I mean, we've seen multiple... investors panels where they say, this is for us, this is for the kids, this is for that. So clearly the choices of characters for generations are made solely for a collector standpoint. It's not from a, you know, it used to be, oh, it's got it. We have to have a yellow car. I mean, that's how it used to be back in the day, where some generations toys were just decided because of marketing. They're like, well, we can't have Bludgeon in the same wave as Megatron because then that's two tanks, you know, like now they don't care. Now they'll totally give us like Megatron and Armada Megatron in the same wave, and they don't care. And they're both going to be like, you know, leader class pricing, and they don't care because they know the collector market will pay for both of them if they're completists. But because of that mentality, that's, I mean, and it's a possibility because you want to know why? Think of stuff like Black Shadow. We got Generations Black Shadow, or whatever they call them, Sky Shadow. We got Generations Sky Shadow. Japan didn't even get Generations Sky Shadow. They got Thunderwing, which was like, which makes even less sense because they never even got that character.
That's strange.
I didn't know they didn't get Sky Shadow.
But it shows, though, that if they have the forethought to make the effort to do even obscure characters for a collector's market, it's a possibility. I don't want to spoil what's happening in the comics right now, but it seems like James Roberts is leaning more towards that Victory and stuff. It's happening now. Those characters are starting to show up. So if there's enough of demand, there's a possibility. I mean, hey, we have a BotCon coming up. Who knows what's going to be revealed at that panel, not to mention SDCC afterwards. Who knows? And I've said this on so many podcasts. I used to think I knew the way Hasbro thinks, but now anything is possible. If you told me that there's going to be a Robot Mashers Deathsaurus, I'd believe you, because – anything is possible now, because we got a Heatwave Deathsaurus that was based off of the club exclusive from like 2004.
Yeah.
You know, like anything is possible now. So if someone told me there's going to be a reveal for Combiner Wars and it's going to be the Breastmasters, you know, Lyo Kaiser, I believe you. Oh. And it would be awesome, but I believe you because anything is possible now. Anything is possible now.
You're saying anything is possible. Brian Johnson on the Facebook page just brought this up, and I'll admit I'm ashamed. I did not think of this. Brian Johnson, you have shamed me, being the Fire Convoy fan that I am, that I have not thought of this. Combiner Wars Hotspot recolored into Optimus Prime from RIP.
I would not be surprised if it happens.
I didn't even cross my mind.
No. Let's put it this way. You take any one of the other Stunticon members, or alternatively, you're going to take Streetwise. You could easily make a Car Robots team, you know, easily. You're going to have a Centerpiece Fire Convoy. And you know what? If Hasbro doesn't do it, then Takara will do it, or it'll be some club exclusive where they'll do a subscription pack of five figures, which will be the club. I guarantee the future subscription is going to be something with Combiner Wars. I mean, it's a given at this point. But how I see it is, they'll probably do a Centerpiece Fire Convoy, use the Streetwise, turn it into Mach Alert, use Dead End, turn them into Speedbreaker / Sideburn. They'll think of something. Hasbro never wastes molds. That's the thing. Like that's why Alpha Bravo existed. People look at Alpha Bravo and they went, what the hell is this? And it's like, no, it's them going like, we're seeding the future of this mold to use it for a whole bunch of things. You know, like it's not just one thing.
Exactly. But I would love to see. I would also love to see for those longtime BotCon OTFCC goers. When it was OTFCC, one of the suggested figures was the RID Optimus Prime mold.
As Hotspot.
Recoded as Hotspot / Defense Sword.
Which kind of got done with Titanium, kind of.
Kind of Hot Zone, but yeah. I would love to see, because last year when they were talking about reissuing the Fire Convoy mold with the Master Sword, and that was dropped apparently, I was hoping that mold would be in play to get that Hotspot, and basically his super mode would be Defense Sword. Which I love that concept.
The thing is that mold has been – it's been reissued a few times, because I remember when Cybertron came out, they did a Costco-exclusive two-pack with I think it was a completely unchanged RID Optimus Prime and Magnus. And it was a Costco two-pack mm-hmm. with the Cybertron emblem on it. And it came with a DVD, too.
I want to say there was a slight change, but I don't quite recall.
I think it was the Magnus, maybe.
I think some colors that were turned black, only a few, but Optimus was back to being red again.
Yeah. That's as far as late 2006, early 2007. So they've been using the mold quite a bit. So it's a possibility. I mean, like I said, we'll see what Hasbro shows us, because last year they were like, hey, remember Armada Megatron? Here you go. You know, like, and no one asked for Armada Megatron, but yet here we go. So anything is possible. Not to mention the actual BotCon exclusives themselves. We haven't even had them all revealed yet. Who knows what they're going to think up of? I mean, the fact that they showed Rat Trap shows that they're that late in the molds that they could pull up characters from. So
yeah, that's great. And another thing I was thinking about, talking about Red, we got the Skybite generations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that shows that they're willing to do something different.
And seeing what's interesting with that is they decided to take that concept and not do the Cybershark Transmetal 2. They did the Skybite one. And I'm surprised we actually haven't had a repaint of Transmetal 2 yet. But, I mean, that's another reuse of an old Beast Wars mold that they used. And then it got a homage and it got brought back and recognized with Generations. And imagine you're in Hasbro and you're like, okay, we're going to do a Voyager scale for our Generations line. We need some names. Hey, let's do the Shark from RID. You know, like they thought of that, you know, like, so it shows that there still is demand and anything is possible. And that was another reveal at last year's BotCon when they showed us that, you know, not, I think it was the BotCon before that one, but they showed us that too. And that was a great looking toy. I mean, even the Shark mode looks nice.
Yeah, it does. It's the best mode.
If I'm not mistaken, that generation's Skybite, the new Skybite that we got, that mold hasn't been reused at all yet.
Not yet. Well, that's why I'm surprised they haven't done any. Like, they haven't done the obvious, like, Cybershark. Hey, let's make a club exclusive Transmetals, you know, Cybershark. Let's do the obvious subscription service Cybershark. Let's do at show exclusive BotCon Cyber Show, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm biting my tongue. Watch, it's going to be one of the reveals, but, you know, who knows what they have planned. But it's a shark. But, yeah. It could be a pirate.
I was going to say thanks to everybody for following us on Facebook tonight so far. Thank you for all the comments. There's some great stuff coming through. If you're new to the show, go to the Facebook page, subscribe us, like us. Call us, beep us if you ever need us, whatever, and throw your thoughts up.
There's a lot of activity there, so it's a great way to follow us.
And no Massey attacks. That's without a Massey attack. Imagine if we get a Massey attack.
Yeah, just imagine.
He's sleeping now, though.
I thought we were going back to the show and mention another thing about it. On the Facebook page, actually, Mike Boyle wrote, weren't there some episodes of RID pulled and never broadcast because of 9/11 with Megatron crashing through a building? I never heard about this.
The very first episode of RID, Megatron in hand mode crashes through a building. And then I believe it was episode 17 or 18, there was a whole episode of Car Robots that was dedicated to the Predacons and Autobots holding up a building from falling over.
Yeah.
A whole episode. Yeah. It was like a comical episode of, oh, well, we're going to drop the building. So both of those episodes got pulled completely because of – so the very first – like after, obviously the episode aired and then it got pulled afterwards. But the first episode and episode 17 were the ones – and they actually got aired much later on. But initially, they did get pulled.
Yeah, because I think the episode you were talking about was like the Tuesday, the very next day after 9/11.
Yeah,
literally, that was the episode that came on after 9/11 happened.
And pretty much all channels, no matter what channel you turn to, was covering the events of September 11th that had happened. So there for a while, we didn't even have Fox Kids on the air for several days. I think it may have even been something like a week and a half.
Everything got in lockdown at that point. Yeah. Even as a Canadian, trust me, every channel was like that was the primary focus. I remember we all went, but when it happened, we all even went home from school. Like it was just like, and I was in college at the time. It was like we're all going because we didn't know who knows what could have entailed after that. Everyone thought this was the first of something else, you know.
We did.
So we didn't know what was going on, but it was a big deal. It was a really big deal, and not just Transformers got affected. At the time, Toonami in the States was running Gundam, which was a very war-based kind of show. That got pulled because it was like, well, we got to be sensitive with what's going on right now. Like a lot of stuff, pretty much the brakes got, went to a screeching halt for a lot of different things because of what happened.
Yeah, that became
Our ID, unfortunately, was something that was affected by that.
That was interesting. I haven't heard about that before, so.
Yeah, even in Canada, that was an issue. I remember.
That was a major focus. In fact, it was such a big thing that a lot of other things that happened around that time completely flew by a lot of people's radar. Like, I think it was not even 2 weeks removed from those events. Those of you in the Power Rangers fandom, we lost the original Yellow Ranger Trini, Tui Trang.
All right.
A month. I didn't find out until 3 years after she had passed because of, the events of September 11th, was everywhere that I missed out on the smaller news such as that.
I remember that.
I'm kind of blown away that flew by my radar. So, I mean, it affected lots of things.
Everything was small news in comparison.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Sorry. Go ahead, Don.
I'm still. I'm going back. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, moving on, if you don't have any more things to say about this tragedy, that is 9/11. Going on with the RID cartoon, in most of Transformers cartoons, you got annoying characters in form of kids, animals. In R&D, we got the Gas Gunk and his gang. Headed by the Skybite. It's a love or hate relationship, I have to say. I love Skybite, but I know people that hate him. I don't think there is any between coming to that. And then there was Ty.
I like that.
Autobot main computer system thingy.
I liked Ai-chan. I think that if there had to be an annoying aspect in the show, mind you, I watched it in Japanese. It would have had to probably be Yuki-kun, which I don't know what they called him in English. But, I mean, especially towards the end of the series where there was this whole emphasis on the power of children in order to then create the super god sword. And
yeah.
I mean, I always – the Japanese, they refer to it as the Shihobu, which is you always have to have that kid. That is kind of the root of the series. And, I mean, he's one of the he's not as offensive. I'm not too bothered by him. I mean, there has been worse characters like that. I think, honestly, with the exception of Alexis, a lot of the Armada kids were a lot more annoying. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that's about it in terms of – I didn't mind Ai-chan. I actually liked her. I didn't mind the Beast. I think you always have to have those. You always have to have that Bebop and Rocksteady. You always have to have that.
Yeah.
You gotta have those idiots. You gotta have the. You have to have the idiots. That's like, oh, you morons. So you have to have, because the whole point is they're the idiots. And then you had Skybite, that was the upper crust idiot. And then you had the elite Death Strongers that were like, oh, we're better than you. So you always have to have even that turmoil within the Decepticon Predacon faction. So they serve their point. There wasn't really anything annoying. I liked all the characters, even the voice acting was fun. Characters like even characters that only appeared for one episode, like Indy Heat, Skidzy. They had those fun little quirks where you always liked to race. Or Wrecker Hook that always had to tow people. No parking is no parking. I think that's what the dub version always said. I only caught certain episodes, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. There was very little that was like, oh, I don't like this aspect of the show.
The only thing I didn't like, this Megatron did nothing. He sat on his throne and complained, and he didn't
Don't Gigatron, just sit there, do Gigatron something. For all 10 modes that he had, was not very proactive.
No.
He had 10
it
modes.
It was Skybike that was leading the yeah. Predacons, really. Yeah. And I have to say, what was his name? Slapper and Gaskunk, the best name ever for a Predacon.
And then Darkscream.
Darkscream was his name, yeah.
Darkscream, yeah.
Great gang. I love them all. And I agree with you, Daniel. I have nothing to complain about this, but...
especially after what came after.
Yeah, because Armada...
I don't want to sound like I hate Armada. Armada, especially Micron...
Oh, I do.
Micron Legend in Japan was quite passable. At least it was passable. But, I mean, as an American watching Armada in English, it was apples and oranges. So, yeah. That was the big problem.
Well, the main thing I want everybody watching or listening is if you've heard about Robots in Disguise 1.0 and you've never seen it, try to track it down if you can. I know there's a Region 2 version out there. If your DVD player will play Region 2.
Yeah, Metro Video, unfortunately. That's the only, Metrodome is the only official release of it, because unfortunately Saban, which is Disney, and they kind of have it's in limbo right now, so just check YouTube, and even more so recently on the TFW boards, someone actually subtitled every single episode of the Japanese version,
so a lot of people give RID a lot of grief, and the show was for younger kids. It was a little cheesy and corny in places, but it's a fun show. It's a lot lighter in tone than Beast Machines had been. It's got some great figures, some great characters. I just want everyone new to the fandom, if you're looking for something different while you're getting used to it, check out Robots in Disguise. If nothing else, you'll find a character you like. Skybite, of course,
Who doesn't love a haiku?
Yes. Yes.
There's a reason why that Generations toy exists. I mean, he was a popular character. And, if you want to know why he was, go back and watch it. You'll see.
Yeah.
I guarantee you'll enjoy it.
Haikus.
Listen, guys. Go ahead.
Refrigerator. I was saying haikus can be fun. They don't have to make sense, though. Refrigerator. No.
That's true. Listen, guys, we soon have to wrap this up. We're approaching the two-hour mark here. Could go on for even longer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We have to wrap it up.
But then you would kill us.
Yeah. But I have two things.
It's like, what, 5 a.m. your time?
Yeah, it's soon 5 a.m. here in Sweden.
He's a trooper.
What the heck. I'm doing this.
He's a VR trooper.
But I have two things that I want to mention. The first thing, you mentioned it, Don, if we are going out buying toys from RID, if it sounds interesting to you, don't buy anything that you see. Don sent me a link, and I'm not going to share it. It's from eBay, but I can mention that it's Transformers Godfire Convoy, along with Ultra Magnus. And the buy it now price for that one is $850.
No.
That's
WTF. Each individual one, mint in box, maximum $60. Mint in box.
Well, yeah. that was the TRU crystal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's stayed consistent. I mean, I don't want to say it's a great toy, but it's not like it's rare either. So there's tons.
$850, folks.
What's that in your currency, Tobias? Or do you even want to think about that?
What? What did you say?
How much is that? How much would that be in your currency?
It's a used car.
$850. Let's see here. A quick calculation. It was 7,506 Swedish kroners.
Sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. It is a used car. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And another thing I want to mention before we wrap this up. It has nothing to do with RID, but it has to do with a new product. It's a new Blackjack figure. that came out, the Legends class, I believe. Mm-hmm. And what in it involves a fix. I didn't know there was a fix, and it needed to be fixed. But it was a listener response to some discussion we had last week on the show. I wasn't part of that. It involved blackjack and a fix, as I mentioned. You take two small pieces of paper on each post will increase the friction. Does that mean anything to you guys?
Yeah, because the post on Motormaster is actually wider than the holes on blackjack. So the posts themselves are pushing blackjack off the chest when he's connected to Minasaur. So the, so the paper will help it clamp around the post better, so he's not just popping off like a Breastmaster.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's not dirty. That's not anything bad. So no one.
No, that's not anything bad. So the instruction is: two small pieces of paper on each post will increase the friction. Yep. Drape them over the pegs. Put them on the port on blackjack with a blunt-tipped screwdriver. Press him onto the pegs and done. Plenty of friction. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Also, another fix I've heard is if you sand the bottom of the pegs around the outer rim, because they're tapered like a Christmas tree, the top, the bottom, it gets wider. So if you take some sandpaper and sand the peg at the bottom, that way blackjack fits further down on the pegs.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, that's also physically altering your Motormaster. You might not want to do that.
Right. Okay.
And if you have any convention or wrap-up meetings, be sure to email us at podcast@tfylp.com. Make sure we'll get it out on the air so that way all of our thousands of listeners will know about your meetup and your gathering.
Yeah, and don't forget about tfylp.com, where you can read more about and listen to the shows and watch the shows, of course. And as you mentioned on before, we also got a Facebook fan page for TFYLP. And we're also on Instagram, posting awesome pictures all the time. It's tftalk.netofficial. That's tftalk.netofficial. Just type in TF Talk and you will get the hit on Instagram.
And just if you want to shoot us something on Twitter, we're at TFYLP on Twitter.
Yep.
We're on all your favorite social media gathering places except MySpace. I don't think we're there.
No, I don't think anyone's there anymore. I just going to say that. Is that even a thing? Yeah. Anyway, thanks to all your listeners out there and all the comments on Facebook. It's been a pleasure as always. And thanks to you, Daniel, Protoman.
No problem, man.
Thanks a lot. And my name is Tobias, if I didn't say that in the beginning, also known as Dr. Archiville. We'll be seeing you next week, then.
Take care, everybody.
Take care, everybody, and bye.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.